friends, it is Saturday, August 19th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. And, of course, their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To listen to the archives of this program, just select my name in the archives section at RBN. Please also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and WoolliesBlog.blogspot.com, where you can listen to the archives of the programs at those two locations. During the program, email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Do not send questions to my regular email, as I do not look at it during the program. Please also visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the third hour at 800-313-9443. You may view the guest lineup at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to my remarks or to the guest and his or her subject. My guests today are Diane King and Jim and Joe Rizzoli. The websites of interest are ccfiile.com. In other words, it's a CC file, but with two I's. And also jrizzoli.wordpress.com. And Rizzoli is spelled R-I-Z-O-L-I. I think Diane isn't with us yet. They haven't been able to get a hold of her. But we have Jim and Joe joining us. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Well, I'm here too, Deanna.
Oh, good. I thought she's probably just getting a cup of coffee or something. She'll be along, right?
I'm here now.
Diane's here.
I'm here.
That's the important thing. Everybody's here. So, there's so many things going on.
I
wanted to talk about Charlottesville a bit, and I can't help but thinking it's probably just a coincidence, but it seems very strange that it would happen within just a short period of time after the death of our wonderful friend, Ernst Sandl. And it seems to me that it also has the Soros signature on it. And he's famous for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, we agree with that. Yep.
Yep, he's famous for getting these things together, and he's got the big bucks to do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's got rabble-rousing, as I call them, brain-dead, mind-numbing, politically correct minions who will do his bidding without even thinking. They don't read. They're barely literate anyway, but they're always available to shout for the right price.
You're right. Absolutely. And that is definitely what's going on. And it's awful. I felt like flying my Confederate flag out in my front lawn, because it just makes me sick that they are destroying. What they're destroying is the culture. And that is what the United States military does whenever it goes into a country and invades. The first thing they do is they take out the artifacts, they destroy museums, they destroy the culture. And that's what they're doing down there, or what they're attempting to do is to destroy the culture. And when I think of, and I had ancestors that came from the South, and even if I didn't, I would still feel this way. But they are destroying a culture, a rich culture, and they are discrediting the South and its pleas for independence. And basically what they were just simply a colony of the North. The North exploited them economically and in every way that one could imagine. And it just makes me very, very upset.
Right. It should. Yeah, well, we've been having some exciting things happen up here relating to that Charlottesville, because today they had a rally on Boston Common. All right, so this is just kind of like a continuation
right.
of what happened in Charlottesville. And we, you know, I was going to go down to the Common to go there to, you know, either video it or, you know, get involved with it in some way, because it's supposed to be a free speech rally. But the problem is, it really isn't a free speech rally, because the young kids, 23-year-old kids, that got this thing together, they're for free speech, but they're not for my free speech. They're for their free speech, because the topics I want to talk about, they banned. You can't talk about them. So that we were watching it. In fact, we put the video up on our YouTube site,
Video live.
We actually did a Facebook live of it with it in the background on the TV. Kind of interesting. Worked out pretty well, actually. But you had to see this to believe it, because the Boston Common is a pretty big place. And it has a rotunda where you go in. It's all enclosed, you know. It's probably about, you know, 30 feet round or thereabouts, and you walk upstairs and you go in it. But that's in the middle of Boston Common, on one side of it anyway. And all the people that were for free speech was inside of that rotunda. Now, normally, when you're giving a talk about free speech or you have an opinion that you want to give there, you think there would be all these people in front of you to listen. Well, there's only one problem. When you look at the video, there was nobody. The cops cordoned off at least 100 feet in front of that so that nobody could even be in front of it to listen to anything. And even if they were, they wouldn't have heard anything because these people didn't have a PA system.
Yeah, they didn't have enough money to buy
it. But yeah, they said they didn't have enough money for the PA system. So obviously, this whole event was a scam. It was set up by, I believe, you know, Jewish instigators who just made the event so they could be there to have their free speech and pull in all their people, okay, all their loony liberal nut jobs, I call them, from all over Massachusetts or all over whatever, and they all came in to have their rally, and they didn't have to pay for a permit. So they're kind of living off the permit, all these people that attended that rally, which most of them were liberals, they attended the rally based on living off the permit of these young people that took it out, but it had nothing to do with the topic. It had to do with, I think, they just got it done so they wouldn't have to spend a lot of money. Because it's costing, I heard, the city of Boston $250,000 to $300,000 at this point anyway, to put that rally on because of all the police and everything involved. And so there was a huge contingent of people walking up from Dorchester, you know, suburbs of Boston, up the street, thousands and thousands. They think there was 20,000 or 30,000 people here. But there was hardly any people representing the real patriots of this country and the real free speech advocates. It was a rally that was representing everybody else but
us. And what they would do, if somebody would emerge or surface that, let's say this one gentleman like our age had a T-shirt on, no white genocide, they just sent it on him like he was the plague. The anti-fascist, the white, the Black Lives Matter, I mean, they began to, like buzzing type of energy. I mean, the police were over there. What did the police do? Instead of surrounding him so he could have his say, they escorted him away from the area.
A free speech rally, and anyone that had a Trump shirt on, if you had a Confederate flag shirt, which I really doubt if anybody had one on.
Nobody got through with that one on.
They would, if they saw that you were the opposition, which really that was the whole reason for this, so that you could have your free speech, they escorted you off with a group of policemen off Boston Common so that these people couldn't confront you. So that, what a joke this was. This was an absolute joke.
I mean, I call it a pseudo-free speech, merely a rally. Two purposes. Originally, I thought it was to flush out white nationalists. That is a term I would, I guess, use people like us who have a conservative point of view, and we're all lumped into the same group anyway, and then be able to take pictures and so on and then harass us after the fact. But what happened was we all stayed away except for a few, and once they were spotted, they were ferreted out and spirited off. And so what it became was merely a mass gathering, a mob of oppressive mob to intimidate us.
All the alt-left.
All the alt-left. There was, like Jim says, and of course they interviewed the more outrageous sign, the media descended upon them to interview them.
Yeah. And if you had an American flag, they escorted you off the common. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
And also the people who, the Antifa, who are not in Canada, it's illegal to wear masks and handkerchiefs around your face, particularly in dealing with the police, you could spot them because they had their scars, they had their masks on. And I was told, because I was in a discussion on this one TV station, well, that's to protect themselves. I said, they're the ones throwing the urine and the acid on people. Protect them against what?
Right. Oh,
they're not being attacked. So it's a perverted version. Whenever you hear the term free speech, particularly if it's coming on, let's say TV or mainstream media, they are not going to be free. It's the opposite of it. Or it's a exclusive and selective free speech, but doesn't include us. Believe me, it will not include us. In fact, we will be shut down. When people were responding to me on this discussion in regard to this TV station, and I expressed these very same things, they said to me, you are the stupidest person. I said, well, thank you for honoring my free speech for the first thing. Second, you are truly a product of the public school. And third, pick up a book and get informed.
Right.
You're so right. This is just amazing. But when you look at it across the board, when you think of the censorship that has recently been employed at Google, yes. And of course, you have to include YouTube and across the internet. There has been censorship back as far as 2008 when the ADL got together with YouTube, I believe it was YouTube, and said, oh, we will help you with taking care of censoring things that should not be heard, should not be seen.
Yeah. And, well,
Second,
yeah. Oh, I want to chirp in here. In the Boston Globe a couple of days ago, when they were talking about this event, they had the name of the person who was involved. Well, first of all, the name of the article is called "Who Is Behind Free." the thing just disappears. Okay, who is behind Free Speech Coalition? Who is behind? That's the English, huh? Who is behind Free Speech Coalition? And the person's name is John Medlar. And I'm saying to myself, okay, who is this guy? I mean, who is he? I mean, you know, has he had prior meetings? Even though I think he has, I've never heard of him. He's never been in the media. All of a sudden, a guy comes on the scene and says, oh, I'm going to have a rally at the Common. Now, what's interesting about that is he put stipulations. He says the group describes itself on Facebook as a coalition of libertarians, progressive conservatives, and independents that is willing to peacefully engage in open dialogue about the threats to the importance of free speech and civil liberties. And then he says they're in their 20s from these towns, Newton, Cambridge, and Charlestown. Now, Newton is just a Jewish town. So I'm saying to myself, I think this guy's Jewish. And he said, he says that they're libertarians and progressives. Now, when we hear the word progressive, the first thing I think of is Jewish, because they're the ones who are trying to change everything. They're the ones that are progressive. Now, let's get back to this meeting on the Common. Here they are, 100 feet all around them. Nobody's there. See, we've been in this place. We've been to rallies. And we people who have had the rallies have had PA systems. We sit in front or all around it, or basically in front, because that's what the PA system is. And we listen to the rally talks. They had no PA system. They're in the center of this place, inside of it. They're not doing anything. They're not saying anything. Now, conversely, after it ends, don't you think the media would be all following them and chasing them and trying to interview them. I haven't seen one single thing on in the news about interviewing them. Nothing. So,
right, but you forgot to mention that one of the things you said they're not going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I think I made it.
You said is Holocaust denial.
In fact, we were uninvited. No Holocaust deniers welcome. We were uninvited to this. I read that. I thought, well, there goes the free speech aspect of it.
Oh, here it is. Here. Oh, I got it right here. Here's what it says in the article. It says, we do not, because they're talking about this other guy they were going to invite. I guess they didn't invite him. It says, we do not support him due to his willingness to support violence, as well as his Holocaust denial, said one member who would only identify himself as Lewis. So this guy, distinctively, whatever his name was, he pulled out of the rally. So imagine Holocaust. Now, my point is, what's a Holocaust denial have to do with anything if you're talking about free speech or talking about illegal immigration or this or that? These people talked about nothing. I have no idea what they talked about.
Right.
I mean, even if we went there, the Rizzolis went there, we'd say, well, we'd like to go there and talk about illegal immigration. Well, remember, they're libertarians and progressive. They're not going to agree with us about anything. So what is the free speech? So we think the whole thing was a setup.
It's a scam, yeah.
It was a scam, a setup to get the people from Boston to rally with their lesbians and their transgenders and
Black
all these
Lives
people.
Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
All the religions who talk about nothing except, you know, hate.
Yeah, and the Jews. You could see all these signs that had Jewish symbols on them and, you know, whatever. And we think that they got them together. They knew they were going to march into Boston. And it was just a setup to actually probably try the police out to see what they could do to manipulate the people. Now, you also got to remember, they had no food trucks. These people walking for 2 hours. These people, they're walking for 2 hours, and they have no food, no water, nothing. They could have brought all the food trucks in there. And
they all lined up the whole street.
All the street, because there's no cars.
But see, they didn't want anything on the street.
Right, they didn't want anything on the street. So, of course, what's happening in Boston now, we don't know, because, you know, the blacks now are in there, and they're probably getting in the fights with people. And, of course, you know, if they break windows or if they do anything like that, they'll be able to blame slavery, or they'll be able to blame, you know, the guys that were, the molecules that were left behind
2 hours
ago by these guys that were on the platform.
Yeah.
So this seems to me like it was the biggest fake news scam that ever happened.
All right. Gentlemen and Diane, we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. Our guests today are Diane King and Jim and Joe Rizzoli. And the websites of interest are ccfiile.com and jrizzoli.wordpress.com. And I am, as many of you are, I am on the CAFR, Walter Burian's CAFR email list. And he said this morning, he said, please, I repeat, please do not use the $1, $20, $50, or the $100 bills, as they all have pictures of former slave owners on them. Send them all to me, and I will dispose of them properly. Do not just throw them away. They need to be disposed of properly, and I am a certified money disposer. Mail them immediately to me. Rest assured, I will dispose of them properly and get rid of the dirty, racist money in a proper fashion. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, what's the address so I can send my money to?
I got a few hundreds.
I mean, far be it for me to support slavery.
It is getting to be that ridiculous, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, Deanna, did you know that there's three statues of Lenin in the United States, and nothing's happening to them? No one's complaining about taking those down.
And I was also thinking, look at the statues of Truman, and look what he did to Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
And Clinton. I mean, Clinton's in those crosshairs right now, some of the groups. His
yes.
statue, I said, just take it down. We'll deal
yes.
with it later.
And some of her money, I understand, is behind this.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. My gosh. Soros money, her money, all the same.
Yeah, she doesn't give up that easily.
No, she's got her. She and Obama have their tentacles in these movements and the dissatisfaction generated and stirred up in this country against Trump.
Sure, sure, and that is also what this is all about. And well, of course, the media. You do not hear anything good on the media about this. The other thing, or about him. The other thing that is very interesting is that what he said about this situation, I think, merits attention, because he said that there was evil on both sides. And in fact, Michael Hoffman, who doesn't praise Trump, but he said that I want to praise our president for two things he did in his impromptu news conference yesterday. These are two things that every magistrate ought to be able to do, and which precious few of them today are even willing to think about. Trump refused to be steered by mob action, and when two evil groups clashed, violently, he refused to take sides. I disagree with two evil groups, but he refused to take sides. He stated his case inelegantly, but he was clear on the essentials, and I was very gratified by his refusal to budge.
Absolutely.
Which is good. And, of course, he got bombarded about it, saying, the media really is very negative towards him.
That's how I know he did the right thing.
Yes.
When the media is up in arms, he did the right thing.
Yes.
When the liberals are pulling their hair out because of it, he did the right thing.
Yes, I agree.
Well, if those nutty people didn't come against, it doesn't matter if they were Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists. I don't care who they are. If they just left them alone, there would have been nothing would have happened. See, this is what
sure.
people don't understand. In other words, this is something about the Jews that I find happen all the time. They can't leave anything alone. In other words, if there's a smack of anti-Semitism or something, they can't just forget about it. They have to come at it. And it doesn't matter what happens, because they believe in the Samson, what do you call it?
Principle.
You know, knock down the whole temple. We'll kill ourselves if we have to make a point. And that's what they do. So what happened at this rally, if they just, like, technically, if they do what they did in Boston with this rally, nobody would have been near those persons.
Well, but I must admit, Boston did keep everybody away, but they kept everybody away who were the free speech advocates that wanted to hear something from the speakers.
Right.
Because there was no speakers,
well,
and there was nothing said.
They threw the baby out of the bathwater.
Yes, they sure did. All right, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Diane King and Jim and Joe Rizzoli, and the websites are ccfile2eisenfile.com and jrizzoli.wordpress.com. And I was also thinking... Pardon me?
We have rizzolitv.com.
So. Oh, okay. Rizzoli T. Okay. Yeah, RizzoliTV.com. Okay. Thank you. I'm so glad that you were there, that we have somebody that was actually on the ground and seeing what was going on. And
Well, actually, we weren't there. We watched it on the TV.
And then we talked about it.
Because if we went there, we would have been kicked out of there. So that's why we really couldn't take a chance of being there. But we watched the whole thing, and I recorded it on TV, and I could see everything that was going on. So I had the best seat in the house, to be honest with you.
Sure. Well, I watched it on TV also, and all I saw was, well, it was just an awful lot of bashing on both sides. It was horrible. It was horrible to watch.
You're talking about Charlottesville?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Boston.
There were no both sides in Boston.
Yeah. No, okay, I see what you're saying. So you watched the Charlottesville good one. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I never saw that on TV except the clips after.
Yeah.
Well, I think that seeing this on television makes the audience, whether you're watching, whatever you're watching that is chaotic, it gives the viewers a sense of discomfort to think that the community is so violent that you're afraid to venture out. And I think that is very deliberate. And I think that the media plays upon that. And certainly in the Chicago area, we see this all the time. We hear about all the people that are killed on the highways from random shooting. Every day there's somebody murdered, particularly during the weekends in Chicago. And it just gives the community a general sense of fear. And I think it's very deliberate. And I think that the authorities allow this in order to later bring in more military in order to control not the people who are doing this, but to control the entire community.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Everything that's happening right now with the police are just, what do you call it, tactical exchanges. They're trying to get experience with all these things happening around them, and they're using us as the guinea pigs.
You know, they did that some years ago when we were holding an immigrant. No, we weren't holding a meeting, but we went to a meeting,
at the town hall. There was a white supremacist group that was going to be there. Oh, of course, they made a big thing about it. So what they did was they cordoned off the whole building. In other words, you couldn't park around the building. And then when you came in, you had to have stuff looked at by the police. So in other words, this was a whole test ground for them to practice, you know, their little, you know, workings. You know, I went in there with a video camera. He opened it up, took the tape out, saw what was it. You know, I mean, it was just so stupid. Because we had two white supremacist guys sitting in the front row at this meeting.
Yeah, they made a big thing about two guys.
Yeah, and it was just a practice for them to, you know, get used to, you know, okay, we may have to do this sometime in the future. A big freaking, they're a big deal. It was so stupid.
Sure. The other thing that I was thinking about, too, is that we have to look behind the curtain, as the three of you do, and you do it very well. You have to look behind the curtain and see, well, they're talking about slavery and how terrible it was. Of course it's terrible, but look who started it. Look who owned the majority of the slaves in the South. It wasn't your common Southern farmer. And if it was, if a farmer did happen to have a slave, the farmer worked right alongside the slave, and they were more like family than anything else. It's the big plantation owners, many of which came down from the North, that came down and treated the slaves like slaves, and you have to look at who owned them and who brought them over. Who built the ships that brought them over? Who ran the slave markets? And it's always the same people.
Yeah, yeah. You never ever hear that mentioned in any discussion group.
Well, actually, you know, slavery obviously, you know, came from Africans who, for hundreds and thousands of years, were enslaving their own blacks.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the Muslims come involved and they're like, hey, we could have the slaves too, and they took part of it, the Jews took part of it. So, you know, before it came to the United States, the blacks are already doing it to the blacks for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well,
so I don't know what this squawk about.
The Muslims actually, in Europe, that Saudi Arabia area anyway, the Muslims ran a huge slave trade there.
Right.
And, you know, you don't see the Jews speaking out against them. You know, and saying, "Ma, you had a big slave trade, and you were doing this and doing that." It's almost like, "Oh, that's all forgotten."
Yeah, well, they don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, right.
Sure. And we also need to remember that the North, there were people in the North who had slaves also, and their the emancipation did not include the slave owners in the North.
Right.
They didn't have to give up their slaves, and didn't give
right.
up their slaves.
Oh.
And it started up north, okay?
Yeah, right. And no one mentions, of course, the blacks that own slaves either. The blacks own their own black slaves.
The first guy that sued in 16-something was a black, free black, and he sued because he got his slaves back or something. 16-something.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Now, I will say something on behalf of slavery that was terrific, is that we got to build Angola Prison as a result of these slaves being dismissed from their masters. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
They had nothing to do, and they had no work, and they had no place to go, and so they started, you know, killing, raping, rampaging, and they said, hey, let's build a prison.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's what they did.
Labor.
Right.
A lot of these slaves were so good off, they didn't want to leave.
Right.
Well, they were getting,
You could be a slave to the corporation, and even early on, if you worked for a corporation, say, in New York, if you were in the manufacturing business in New York and you had a bunch of people working for you, if one of them accidentally cut off their arm, they would be out on the street because they would lose their rat-infested tenement where they lived, and they would be out on the street. But the slaves in the South, when they got too old to work, they still had their cabin. They still had their garden. They weren't out on the street. They weren't just dismissed. So I think that when you look at it, we're all enslaved to some point or another.
Right. Well, if there's Jews involved.
Oh, absolutely. That's the middle name. Enslave the boy. thing is that the there is a tendency, the Fed has always made it a point to kind of train the blacks, at least, to for a plantation mentality, that we will take care of you. In fact, when a lot of these women have had 10, 20 kids, and I do not exaggerate, they say the government needs to take care of us. So there is that mindset. And so essentially when the, and unfortunately for them, the Fed right now is kind of hostile, if you will, toward their way of life, like they want them to go out and work and all that horrible stuff. But eventually there'll be another Democrat that comes in, and that will be typically a plantation owner type of mentality. And they'll have their welfare checks and so on. And so it there isn't that, we got to stop this. This is ridiculous. Now, some people will say that. I think Bill Cosby said that. He got in a lot of trouble saying that type of thing.
Look what happened to him. Look what happened to him. If you have a decent black person who promotes independence, self-reliance, and demotes this idea that people are entitled to live off of other people, then they are going to be taken out in some way or another. And I really question whether all of these lawsuits against him are legitimate or whether it's just to take him down. I think it's something we should question.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there.
So they need some good spokespeople. But of course, if you do have a good spokesperson, no matter who it is, and they're victimized or otherwise taken out, it's going to really limit the number of people who are going to want to step forward.
That's the point. It's a deterrent. It's meant as an aversion therapy. Don't stick your head out too far. Don't be too righteous. Literally, not the correct righteousness, not the pseudo-righteousness that the Antifa and the left are doing. Self-righteousness. I mean, true righteousness, when you're striving to do best and better, I mean, you're going to get shut down. We can't have that. That's going to strengthen a society, and we're in the process of dismantling the society.
Sure. Which brings us to the subject of Ernst Sandl. Now, after what happened to him, are there going to be a lot of Germans or any Germans at all who are going to step forward and try to do what he did?
They're all in jail.
Yeah, they're all in jail.
Well, yes. You know, the people who are German should. We were within one. This is what I was told already. We were within one vote of making America the German language.
Yep.
One vote. So people don't understand that with the heritage, with the Germans in this country, and. And because of the Jews messing everything up and fighting against Germany and this and that, they just, everything went topsy-turvy,
Well, half the population of the United States in the 1850s, or up until that time, was German.
Right. They were the farmers. They were the big people doing all that, doing all the work.
Sure. The early Germans that came over were hardworking people. They wanted to contribute. They wanted to give back. They were ready. They were willing and ready to work. And then you had a second big rush of Germans that came in, but they weren't really Germans. They were Marxist. And they came in as a result of the failure of the 1848 Marxist revolutions in Europe. They came over here and fought on the North in the so-called Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression. And so you had two different mindsets there, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people don't get it how bad it got when the Marxists came in.
Yes,
that's when Darwin and all that started happening. Too the evolution,
sure.
All that came in, and everything to get people away from a spiritual, side of things. Not to say that religion is doing a good job in doing things, but it sent them off the cliff in the other direction when the Darwin people came in and the evolutionists came in and all those boxes came in.
And this was compounded right when Hitler came to power and all of their Jews and the Frankfurt School and the the reprobate actors and actresses left Germany, and guess where they came?
Yeah, they went straight to Hollywood and set up the studios.
Exactly. Columbia University for the Frankfurt School, and they began infiltrating the colleges. And this is during the Depression. How is it possible to get a high-end job as an immigrant coming into a country during the Great Depression?
Well, you just go to work for the State Department.
Well, they worked for. They had a place already. The Jews
sure.
had brought them in this country into Columbia University, and then the rest of your Ivy League eventually. And so
sure.
now our schools are worthless.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you mentioned earlier about Christians, and in addition to the other things that Michael Hoffman mentioned, he said that the Christians were really well-intentioned. But he said that they were the ones that were scrambling to denounce the Confederate flag. And
right.
when you denounce one flag, then pretty soon you're going to start denouncing other flags.
Right. And everything else. That's exactly right.
Sure. Sure. Now, you brought up Antifa.
Yep.
Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
My first experience with them was in Canada. They, like here, they're not original. And they would provide counter-protests, like we would be protesting outside of Ernst Zundel's prison, the West detention in Toronto. And they would be there, too. And the police would have to be there, but the police would have to have guards over their horses' eyes because the Antifa would attempt to poke out the eyes of the horses.
Oh, my
so
gosh!
They knew they wouldn't get that from us because they were largely survivor Germans who were there and free speech people that were involved in this. And there was a huge, huge outpouring from us, but also from them. And so the police kept them on the other side. But their philosophy, and it was encouraged and fueled by this person named Richard Warman, who was a classic, as Paul Fromm calls him, classic complainer. And he made a living of taking Canadians to court for their expression of their nonviolent opinion. But they don't have free speech in Canada unless the government says you deserve it. So these Antifa would be across the street with their masks on, which is against the law in Canada. But they were, and they would not prosecute them, which is a real Soviet tactic, is you allow the criminals to run free and keep the dissidents in the house. And then we would picket and protest and just stay kind of very alert with them over there. And again, the police would separate us, which is what they would do, and unlike what they did not do in Charlottesville. And so that was my first experience. But their idea is based on this Richard Warman, maximum destruction. Now, when I was with Paul, his house got picketed. One of the tactics that they use is they will leaflet your neighborhood about a racist, white supremacist, you know, all the classic epithets, neo-Nazi, and they picketed, and the police would not allow them into the complex, so they went to the strip mall behind the house, and they were brought in by a school bus. Well, none of them had any money, so we knew that they were financed by Richard Warman, which they were, because they said, thank you, Richard Warman, for making it possible for us to be here. They'd actually have signs that said that. And so the neighbors, we couldn't go. I mean, there probably were 3 or 4 dozen neighbors. And, of course, what it does is terrorizes, and it causes them to attempt to alienate themselves from us. And so, yeah, that was an experience.
Oh, sure.
Firsthand. And that was their tactic. And maximum destruction, whatever it takes, and they are not limited by the law.
Wow. All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Brain Mag is an amazing nutraceutical technology that crosses the blood-brain barrier because it is a magnesium L-threonate and magnesium malate and glycinate. Magnesium L-threonate, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, protects the brain from oxidative stress and in knockout mice was able to protect against the memory loss and Alzheimer's. It dramatically increases cognitive health, improves sleep quality, stabilizes the mood, and works wonderfully with Calm Mind as a combination drink supplement. Order NutraMedical's Brain Mag at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. This is the best nutraceutical for calming your brain, protecting memory and brain function, and prevention of Alzheimer's.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Diane King and Jim and Joe Rizzoli, and their websites are ccfile.com, and file has two I's, and also jrizzoli.wordpress.com and rizzolitv.com. Diane, you sent out a letter, an email, on the 18th, and you said at the top of the email, Constitutionalist equals gun rights supporter equals voted for Ron Paul / Trump equals white nationalist equals white supremacist equals neo-Nazi equals racist equals extreme right equals da-da homegrown terrorist.
Yeah, welcome to the club, Deanna.
Yes. Well, I'm in good company, aren't I?
Well, the thing is, people say, and I address this, they say, oh, well, I don't believe this or that. I said, it won't matter. We've already been lumped into the same group. They
sure.
will treat us all the same. And once they can do that, and once we've been redefined, as a, and this is going on, you can see at various places on the Internet, they're trying to get the people that believe the way we do, instead of saying we're constitutionalists and or libertarian or whatever, it makes that digression, as you saw, until finally we have to be lumped into the same group as the terrorists. Once we are, then we become under a different law. We lose our rights. We become tried under the, thanks to George Bush, military tribunals. And, we don't have to go to Guantanamo. We've got enough FEMA camps in this country to house all of us. But then we become a whole different class, and then they can start coming after us in total. And any one of the, and I forgot to put anti-Semite in there, I think that can be implied by the neo-Nazi, presumably, is any time any one of those begins to become successful, it will be like a wormhole that will pull all the rest of it and us into it. And you cannot say, you can backpedal all you want in the roundup. Yes, I'm white. Yes, I'm Christian. Oh, that's another group. I voted for Trump. But I don't believe this way. They will have stopped listening when they say, you're white. That will probably be the first thing. The second thing is, of course, voter registration and so on. But they're having a trouble navigating through this mire and getting us affected. That's why they need to create these sensational crises type things, because then people don't think about it. They just associate the terms. And then when the rest of us, and a number of us did not go to these demonstrations, we cringe because we see how the words are being thrown around. If someone does dare to cross the line and actually be there like that guy that had no white genocide, then they become a focus. And then all of a sudden they include all the other terms, white, and anytime you're afraid of white genocide, they include those people in the group too. We are all in it. Get used to it.
Right. Now, when I was when I saw this on TV, the big thing that they were promoting here in this area was neo-Nazi. That's all neo-Nazi, neo-Nazi. They just kept repeating that. They just, and of course that is the number one thing that no one wants to be called. Oh, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
There's no neo about.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.